You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
The time is here. We are just days, mere days, away from the highly anticipated launch of Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. And we finally got some reviews.
Yes.
So we wanted to react to it right now in this video.
The moment of judgment is here. It's amazing. After all these years.
Pent up.
Like, when you wait.
And then
you
it's
think,
here.
And you think it's never going to happen. And then
bam!
Oh, we have reviews.
Bam!
People have played this game.
In like less than 48 hours, we'll be playing the game.
Exactly. Exactly.
Us. Mere mortals.
Yes. So the reviews are out
on
both Metacritic and OpenCritic. The score is the same. And that
That's right.
Is 81 out of 100, if you're keeping track.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Really dumbing it down for us, aren't you?
We, in our previous podcast, tried to predict the Metacritic score for this game. Mm-hmm. You were closer to this than I was. You predicted an 83.
I did.
I predicted an 86. We both had some restraint of not like, whoa, you know, this game's or this series is always in the 90s, so it can't be anything below a 90. We both avoided that pitfall.
We did.
We're relatively close, but in the end, it was lower than we predicted.
Yeah, and I remember when I came up with my prediction of 83, you had even said, like, I think the overall score is going to be a little bit higher, but I agree with your points of why you're in the 80s. And yeah, we both agreed that, you know, this game is turning out to be a bit divisive and that sort of low to mid 80s range is more realistic than what the series had been getting in the past, which was, you know, very, very high 90s, definitely squarely in the 90s. But yeah, we're here now. The reality is here. The Metroid Prime 4 is reviewed at currently at an 81. Looks like it's based on 64 critic reviews.
I like that number. Yes.
Yeah,
the point about it being divisive, we were spot on with that. And even in a lot of the reviews themselves, they say,
that's right.
Know, this is my score, but people are going to take this a lot of different ways.
Exactly, yeah.
So let's just quickly, again, compare it to the other. I have all the Metroid Prime
games.
You do. Not just the ones that everybody knows and loves.
Every single one, yeah.
Yeah, so Metroid Prime 1, 97, Metroid Prime 2, 92, Metroid Prime 3, 90, the trilogy, which we have behind us, 91, Prime Remastered, 94, Prime Hunters, remember that on the DS?
I got
an 85. I'm not sure that game actually deserved an 85, but sure.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself.
Metroid Prime Federation Force.
It's a Metroid Prime game.
Metroid Prime right in the title. It's a 64, so we cannot say that this is the lowest reviewed Metroid Prime game. Guess what? There's also Metroid Prime Pinball.
Oh, boy.
It's 79.
Says Metroid Prime right in that title.
Are they doing pinball? I have the... Okay, so those are all the Prime games.
You do. You
I did also include... I added Metroid Other M just for...
Not a Prime game.
Not a Prime game, but...
close in terms of the type.
I don't know.
Genre-wise, a little bit.
We haven't
more
played
closer
it.
Closer to a Prime game than a 2D Metroid
right.
game.
That game got a 79. We obviously haven't played Prime 4 yet, but I don't know. I want to revisit that comp.
We should.
Down the road, maybe in our spoiler cast.
We absolutely should.
Are there maybe some similarities between Prime 4 and Other M? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see.
So let's go through some of the key takeaways, and then we'll go into some, we have some kind of, you know, more specific chunks of these reviews that we want to look at. The visuals seem to be incredible.
Incredible, yeah.
I did not see a single person not going out of their way to praise the visuals.
Right. Even in the very, like, critical reviews, people that gave the game not the highest score, they've all gone out of their way to really praise Retro's art direction, the visuals, the, you know, just the look and feel of the game, the performance, like, all that seems to be top-notch,
yes.
which is not surprising at all
yes.
coming from Retro.
Yes. Thankfully, most people were saying that the Federation characters were not as annoying as was feared coming out of that last round of previews. I guess
Miles was sort of the extreme example of that.
Right. It does sound like Miles, you kind of have that stint with him in the beginning, and then he gets socked away the safe house.
And, he doesn't. He is in your ear throughout the game, it seems like. And there's other Federation Force characters that come into the story as a means to move the story forward. But they definitely are not as abrasive or as, as shockingly annoying as everyone thought Miles was. But there are still some cringy characters in this game.
This is potentially a bullet somewhat dodged in terms of, you know, a real issue.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I agree completely with that, but let's keep going.
All right. The psychic controls are not a gimmick. They really just seem to be like a new way of implementing Samus stuff that we have seen before. So.
And there's also traditional Samus stuff too. Like you still have your missiles and your power beam and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
Mouse controls, which Nintendo was pushing so much. A lot of people are like, you can do them if you want. You don't have to.
Right.
There was a lot of praise just for, like, you know.
Pro controller, gyro aim.
All of that stuff.
Yeah, like the typical stuff.
And the stuff that we saw in Prime Remastered. So I think that's a positive. Mm-hmm. Too hand-holdy, some people were saying.
Yes.
Of getting, you know, just updates on things that you were already doing. Or things that
Scan
you wanted to figure out. There were some comparisons to Navi being made. I don't really love that.
Yeah.
We'll have to see in the final, you know, gameplay for ourselves, like, how frequent is this? How obnoxiously does this come up?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't love this takeaway from the reviews that came up pretty consistently.
Pretty consistently,
Maybe playing it a bit safe. You know, you in the last podcast, you were like, maybe this is like Breath of the Wild. Obviously, it's not.
I do think that a lot of reviewers did bring up sort of what we were kind of starting to understand and wrap our heads around in our last podcast about this maybe being like a soft reboot or some sort of restarting of a series that's been dormant for a really long time. And I think maybe some reviewers also were kind of thinking that is what Nintendo's and Retro's intentions were. But if you are doing that, maybe you're playing it too safe because you, like, to your point before, you had made that point of like, well, maybe they should take it even further then. It's like they tried to soft reboot it, but it didn't take it far enough. So it kind of landed in the middle and that's just not a great place to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And then kind of to that point, there are points where the game struggles to find a sense of cohesiveness.
Yeah. I saw that a lot, even the good ones, even the IGN 8.
Yeah.
They brought that up as a critique
and
of
that's,
the cohesion.
That's where maybe you're feeling the length of development on this game, where it's like, you know, you have an idea, then maybe you get distracted by another idea. Or again, like, you know, there's something that like, oh boy, you know, in 2021, we were all over this. And then like, well, you know, maybe
that trend passed
or evolved in a way. And you're kind of stuck into this, well, you know, we've been doing this for so long. This is where we locked everything in.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of comments about that around the sort of hub world where you're on VO Law, maybe not feeling as vibrant or engaging as it could have been.
Yeah, and I think the other sort of point around cohesion is this like tug of war that the series is having right now between its very core / niche audience and then trying to find that like breakout audience as well. Like they tried to keep it pure for the Metroid purist, but they try to add some stuff in, it seemed like, for people maybe coming into the series for the first time with Prime 4. But then that tug of war makes it really kind of feel a little whiplashy, I think, for people. And I totally understand that. And I think Pokemon is an example of a game going through the same thing. So a lot of these games that have these sort of very core, very passionate, very rigid fan bases, I think they kind of bump up against, the development team kind of bumps up against that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's dig into some specific excerpts from these reviews that'll sort of, you know, build upon some of these takeaways that we're talking about. So Giant Bomb gave it a perfect score, 5 out of 5. They said, despite a few tweaks and new features, motion control, psychic powers, a nonlinear hub world, and the occasional side character, this is Metroid Prime through and through. It's without a doubt the closest the series has ever felt to the original Metroid Prime in terms of tone, gameplay, and quality. Time will tell where I place Prime 4 in the ranking of the overall series, but fresh off my playthrough, I feel comfortable putting it among the likes of Super Metroid and the original Metroid Prime. It's the best Switch 2 title yet, and I have to imagine fans of the series will find themselves captivated. Wow.
Wow. Glowing review. This is Dan Reichert, I believe, that wrote this review, which is a huge Metroid fan.
I mean, putting it with Super Metroid and Metroid Prime, I don't, I'm a little skeptical.
Dan.
I'm a little skeptical of that.
You said the words,
Dan. Based on the other reviews, but again, we'll have to see. That's obviously the high end of the scale here.
That is the very high
end.
Yes, this
is
extremely
high.
Like the highest end.
I was like, wow, Dan, you love this. Nintendo Life said, I should say, I think the game may prove divisive.
Oh.
And they gave this a 9 out of 10.
They did.
Retro has successfully replicated that magical feeling of discovery from the GameCube original, but it's also taken some pretty wild swings with Beyond's new open world hub, high-speed motorbike traversal, and yes, Galactic Federation companions. I'm not sure everybody's going to get along with it like I did, but what I know is that Beyond feels like a natural evolution of Corruption. The Prime games have set themselves apart from the rest of the series by expanding Samus's world to include more and more side characters, and this latest entry takes this concept even further.
Hmm.
Okay?
Interesting.
GameSpot gave it an 8 and said, there's some hand-holding for better and worse. Sometimes it's a welcome way to gently help you out. Near the beginning, I had Miles telling me to make sure I didn't miss anything in one area, which irritated me because I thought he was just referring to a typical hidden items the genre is known for. But after some time, I realized I was missing a mission-critical item, and he was trying to let me know.
Interesting.
The prodding had just been an attempt to keep me from wasting time, and I should have listened. Other times, though, it can be grating. The first time I found an elemental chip that allowed me to install a new weapon type, the prompt to report back to base camp to install it was fine. By the time I'd found a third such chip, I had gotten the idea and I didn't need Miles chirping in my ear or setting a waypoint on my map. I was already heading in that direction before he even said it.
Yeah, I do. That grates me when it's like, the fourth one, I kind of got it. You can take a hint,
yes,
you know?
Yes, yes,
but
yes.
Totally good when the first couple, like, you, this is a new mechanic that you don't know it yet. Tell me, right?
Right, right. So
yeah,
this is,
yeah,
again,
that.
This kind of covers the spectrum of like, well, this new feature, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good.
That's right.
IGN, so this was one that we were particularly looking out for.
Yes, Logan
because
Plant.
In the preview, he was kind of sounding the alarm of like, I don't know about this.
Yeah,
and he had also, he had the infamous Brothership review that was at 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10, yeah.
That really, like, people latched onto. So he gave this game an 8.
He did give it an 8,
so
yeah.
We did not go down that path again. Logan said, Prime 4 Beyond tries to be so many different things. There were moments where I thought it might be the strongest Prime since the very first, and others where it felt like the weakest. An outdated open world hub connects breathtaking areas that brilliantly revisit the classic first-person exploration, and lock-on shooting the series is known for. Talkative companions drop a few too many hints and one-liners, but they're redeemed by some memorable story moments and mostly charming personalities that even a crotchety Metroid fan, that's you,
that's me,
like me, warmed up to in the end. And thankfully, Retro Studios still mostly understands it's important to give Samus her alone time, that's also like you, with a relieving amount of exploration in total isolation. While some of what it attempts just doesn't work, far more of it does, resulting in an uneven but overall impressive revival that reaches incredible heights in its best moments.
It's a very balanced outlook.
It is, yes.
Way to go, Logan.
And then finally, VGC had one of the lower reviews. They gave it a 3 out of 5.
A reviewer that I really trust.
Well, this is written by our very own 1UP Club subscriber, Andy Robinson.
I love Andy Robinson.
So we love him, obviously.
I trust him, and he likes a lot of games that I like, so this is the thing where I do take this very seriously.
Right, and 1UP Club member Andy said, Metroid Prime 4 Beyond feels like a game stuck between two worlds. There's a lot of sacrilegious stuff here for series fans, but it's also tough to recommend it to newcomers over the excellent Dread and Metroid Prime Remastered. There's an entertaining adventure here, but it doesn't fully deliver the spirit of earlier entries I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense, too. Yeah. That makes sense.
Some other little tidbits from the reviews that were interesting. The game seems to be about 15 hours long.
Yeah, the main story.
Which is roughly around what you tend to see from these games.
So I think Dread was a little shorter. Yeah. Prime was a little longer. I mean, it's like average.
It falls right down the middle. I didn't see the only review that I saw, and again, I didn't read all 64 of those, but the IGN did have a little capsule breakout about the game on Switch 1.
Oh, yes.
And I do imagine there are people out there who don't have a Switch 2 like, yes, I'd like to know how is this game on Switch 1. Sounds like it's a really good version.
Great.
Runs at 60 frames. Obviously, it's not as sharp as the Switch 2 version, but it seemed like IGN was quite impressed with it.
I think Digital Foundry might have done something.
Okay. Great.
So, I read a headline, but I did see something from them.
Uh-oh, this is where we get in trouble.
That's what I'm
reacting to headlines.
I'm caveating this by saying that I read a headline, but if you want to dig deeper,
maybe there's more there.
I'm sure Digital Foundry will give you a very good review, a comprehensive review of
I thought
Switch
it was interesting that Nintendo even gave out the Switch 1 version, because there are times where it's like, no, you can't have that.
Yeah.
You get the Switch 2 version.
And you're reviewing
and
the
that's all version. You're going to get until the thing is out. Maybe they feel, they're like, this actually is a great version.
Yeah.
And good of them to recognize that, there is a big audience out there on the Switch 1 for this game. So.
Yeah. Great.
So, all of that.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
You know, we've been reading all morning, getting a handle on this. Mm-hmm. Just, does this make you feel better or worse going into playing this game in a matter of hours?
It makes me feel the same.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's changed how I last felt about this game.
Yeah.
I've really come down from my extreme panic after the previews to a more Logan Plant balanced state where I do think there are going to be lots of things in this game that I'm going to really like. And that's what it seems like it is for a majority of the reviewers, even the ones that gave it a not so positive score. There's still a lot of things to love about this game. And I think that's going to be completely true. And I'm looking forward to seeing all those things. Like, all the exploration sounds great. All of the visuals, the art direction sounds absolutely beautiful. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I honestly, it's been such a long road here. Like, I've already had these reservations about this game in the very beginning, about, you know, some of these things that maybe won't work as well. So I feel like I'm not going in like as blind as I was before. But yeah, I don't think anything in these reviews were like, oh no, now we're really in for a bad time. I didn't get that from these reviews.
No, but there were some elements that certainly could have gone down that direction. If it was like, oh yeah, what we saw in the previews, it's actually that and way worse.
Right, right. It's not that though.
No.
That's not what happened.
No, there wasn't. I'm feeling better, actually. When I first saw, you know, again, I wake up. I always get these jump scares when I wake up and look at my phone. It's like, oh, 81. That's a little low. That's lower than we both predicted. Like, that's starting to get a little dicey. And in the morning, it was even like sub.
It was in like 79 for a moment. It might even balance out at 83.
I don't know. And then, you know, I came in here and I had a chance to sit down and read these. I was like, a lot of these are actually pretty positive.
They're like balanced. They're very balanced.
And I think the things that they are flagging as potential issues, they start to kind of, knowing how I feel about things, I think I can live with these things. I don't think they're going to be deal breakers for me. Maybe they are for you.
They probably are.
They probably will be for you. So I actually came away feeling better about it. And again, like, I just came away feeling like, wow, the written text of these reviews maybe feels a bit more positive than an 81.
Okay. I feel like the reviews are pretty, like, spot on, honestly. Like, no one...
For a game you haven't played?
No one has, like... I mean, like, no one had, like, an extreme reaction to something that feels stupid. You know what I mean? Like, an extreme reaction to, like, something that feels like, oh, wow, you're really overreacting to this. Or like, oh, that's a silly thing to get hung up on.
Okay.
Or even like Dan Riker and his positive review, like that seems good. Like that seems like if you're like going to be unbothered by everything, like you could totally give this game a perfect score. Like you were just unbothered by those little nitpicks or whatever. Then like that's cool. You know, like it's just like everyone has a different like level of tolerance, I think, to these things, and some people's tolerance are just lower than other people's. So it just depends on where you fall on that scale, I think.
Okay. But
yeah, I don't think, like, in reading these, I don't think anyone is trying or going out of their way to be like performative about these reviews. Like the people that gave it a perfect score weren't doing it to be performative or to be simping a game or whatever. Yeah. The people that gave it a lower score weren't doing it because they're like, haha, I'm gonna rage bait these people into my low review score. Like no one was doing that. It was just like a very balanced take on a honest, you know, their honest thoughts about this game, which was like, it had some great highs, it had some moments where it didn't work. Whether or not that those moments that didn't work is going to bother you, the player, like only you can decide that and only you will know where you will fall on that spectrum. So it feels good to me.
Okay. Was there anything that you saw or read in a review that was like, oh, that's a little bit surprising. I didn't know that or I didn't expect that based on the details?
I was kind of more interested in that hub world because I was wondering what... From a scale of 0 to Breath of the Wild,
right.
Where are we in the hub world? Because we were thinking, like, is this kind of what they're doing with these new directions with Metroid Prime? And, like, we even were, like, you know, thinking and dreaming and hoping, like, oh, what other discoveries will we find in the hub world? Is there like little puzzles or like little quote shrines, things like that? Like, where are you collecting those green crystals? Like, there's so many questions about that. And I guess I'm not surprised that it isn't as like obviously big as like a Breath of the Wild, but I am curious about that. It seems to be, I think the reactions to it all seem to be like, they could have pushed that a little further, like push the hub world a bit more if they're going to put that hub world in. But I'm still kind of intrigued by it and intrigued to see how the game is connected through that hub world. So, yeah.
I'm very interested to try that out.
Yeah.
Because even if it is sparse, it doesn't seem like it's that big.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like it's... I hope it doesn't seem like, oh gosh, I got to slog through this thing again.
No, it doesn't seem like that at all.
And they did say there's little like mini puzzles to do and things to do. So I'm intrigued by that. The one thing that I was taking note of was like how few reviews even mentioned Psylux as the villain.
Yeah.
And I forget who did. They're like, yeah, he's there, but he's kind of not as big of a deal as maybe you thought. So it's like...
Then why did they tease him so much? Why is there an amiibo?
Right.
Yeah.
And he did seem like kind of cool and menacing in the trailers and stuff.
Totally.
So it's like, oh, there's some potential there, but in the end, like...
You think he's like a mastermind.
Right. Like, who is this guy? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
What's the deal with that? So that did strike me as a little interesting of like, maybe this character is underutilized for, again, a character we don't know that much about.
Especially if they teased it so much,
in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, he's got Metroids, like... Are we shooting? Are we gotta get this ice beam? Like, what, I gotta bomb out of getting my life sucked out? What am I doing here?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm still curious to know more about that.
I'm really interested in the storytelling as well, because it's been a bit mixed in terms of how they kind of unfold the story and what they're doing with different aspects of the game to push the story forward. Some are saying, you know, some of those Federation soldiers are there for story purposes. And there's some moments where you need them to push the story forward, to push the narrative forward in some way. So I'm wondering about that. Also, nobody mentioned whether or not Samus talks. I'm guessing no.
I saw some mention... The way it was written, I couldn't really make sense of like...
Did they embargo it?
Is there literally nothing, or is it just kind of like extremely limited? I didn't get a clear take on that.
I'm interested in that. Because there's so many other characters that she's going to be interacting with, right?
I am as well.
And I guess there was a moment that someone brought up, and I forget which reviewer this was, but they said that there's another character that's a little bit like on the cringe level as Miles, where she's like a Samus fangirl.
Right, right.
And she asks for Samus's autograph in the game.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder what Samus's response, is she just going to like, silently stare at this person, or what is her reaction going to be when she gets asked for an autograph? Like, I'm just so curious about what Samus is, like, what her reaction is to something like that.
I agree.
Right? So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So going into the game, if you had to put a number on your hype level to dig into this game finally and get going, what is it?
I think a 5.
Oh no!
I'm just like right
That's
down.
Very
the,
low.
I'm right down the middle here. I'm right down the middle.
That's concerningly low.
Well, I'm not gonna let myself get like overhyped for this because I don't want to set myself up for disappointment.
Okay.
I need to go in like as even keel as possible. I feel like so I don't have an extreme negative reaction to it, because if I get in that mindset, I just won't be able to get out of it.
Okay.
So I'm trying to go in, you know, with a very like neutral mindset so that I can be as open as possible to some of these new things that usually would make me unhappy. So I'm trying really hard to not be like negative going into it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm trying to at least like be neutral.
All right. I'm pretty high. I think I'm at a 9 or so.
Oh my God.
I got pretty excited reading these reviews. I was like, I think this is all stuff that is going to work for me. Been such a long time that we've waited. It's one of the few games that, you know, is still around that when we were at Nintendo was still we were like, oh, here
still
we go. Hey, we're doing Metroid Prime 4. Yes, all right, let's go.
Cooking that.
Finally getting a chance to play that. And you know, I think we all have good associations of like games that come out in the holidays. Like for some reason, like that's a special time to play a game and have a good memory about a game. Hopefully it's not a bad memory. We'll see. I'm pretty high up there.
Okay.
I'm pretty high up there.
Good.
Yes. We did want to set up something that we're going to talk about later on, but it's just now all of the first party games
are reviewed and
have come
out
and been reviewed. So we just wanted to take a quick look at all of the reviews. And these are Switch 2 games only, and it did not include like Switch 2 editions or any of that stuff that's kind of more of a re-release.
Right, just brand new Switch 2 games.
Right, so we're going in chronological order. Mario Kart World 86, Welcome Tour 54, Donkey Kong Bonanza 91, Dragon Drive 60, Pokemon Legends ZA 78, Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment 79, Kirby Air Riders 80, and Metroid Prime 4 81. Mm-hmm. So a lot of ups and downs, a lot of kind of middling scores.
Yeah. I have noticed that every single one of Nintendo's holiday releases, which starts with Pokemon Legends ZA, have really struggled to get above like that low 80s range.
All of those are within 4 points.
Which is really surprising, you know, because that's not typical of what Nintendo games score at. Obviously, yeah, Donkey Kong was a huge hit at a 91, but yeah, it's definitely a bit uneven in terms of, you know, your first year. It's not the first year of Switch when we got, you know, Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey, and those scores were like through the roof, and even the games in between, I think those games all reviewed quite well, definitely weren't in the high 70s, that's for sure. So just curious thing to just keep and sock away in your mind.
Yeah, it is interesting to look at and think about now that they're all there for 2025. Welcome to the big leagues, Nintendo. So
That's right.
We have a lot more coming. We are going to... The podcast for this week, Kit and Krista podcast, is going to be coming out on Friday because we want to talk about this game after we have actually
played it. We'll be pulling an all-nighter.
Yes.
Can I beat this game before the podcast comes out? No.
I would love for you to do that. So,
I would try.
So we are going to be a little bit later this week, but we'll have a lot to say about that.
Yes.
And then, again, going back to this point of all the Switch 2 games, our podcast for next week, we're going to be grading Nintendo's 2025.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be returning to that.
They're getting a report card.
And there's a lot of other things that we are going to be looking at and giving them a nice, a report card.
We're going to tell their mommy.
For the year.
Are we going to do a Nintendo Kit and Krista parent-teacher conference?
We're going to bring Mr. Furukawa in here
go over the report card. Yes. Maybe some areas of improvement.
Some things we want to talk to you about.
Some areas of praise. Areas of improvement. Does he get a pumpkin sticker? Does he not? Oh. We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know.
Yeah. Wow. So much is happening.
Wow. What an exciting week, right?
It is.
It is fun that, oh my gosh, it's been like, it just feels like the wait was so long.
It has been.
And it's just arduous. Like now it's just like, let's just get there. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like when you're on a long road trip and you're in the final 1 hour.
You know who also probably feels that way? Nintendo.
Yeah, there's just like, just get it out. Get it out into the world and then we'll just let it be what it may be. Let the chips fall
The chips fall where they may.
The chips fall where they may.
Yes.
Exactly. Let the chips fall where they may. Exactly. Well, that was a fun thing to do to get us hyped or maybe not hyped for this game. Let us know what you think. Have you been reading any reviews? Any ones stick out to you? Anything that you learned in these reviews that were surprising to you? Let us know in the comments. And we will talk to you later. More Metroid stuff coming. Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.